and Liverpool podcast, bringing you news, views, and reviews. Brought to you by DeafNet Media and ArtInLiverpool.com. Presented by Neil Morin and Ian Jackson.
Hello and welcome to this week's Art in Liverpool podcast. And on this week's podcast, we bring you...
The Liverpool Art Prize winners are announced.
Flights of fancy.
How do they make it?
All coming up on this week's Art in Liverpool podcast. News this week, Ian, is that we're both back. You've been away on jolly jaunt to Japan, sitting underneath the beautiful trees with the cherry blossom falling down upon you. The sun has been shining down upon you, I've heard. I've been away in Birmingham, where it's been raining. So, fill us in on the beauties of Japan, and then I'll tell you about Birmingham.
Well, at least it's only about an hour to Birmingham, isn't it? It took me 24 hours to get to Japan and 24 hours back. But apart from that, yeah, we had a great time. And yes, the sun shone and it was dry all the time we were there, 2 weeks. And yes, it's lovely sitting under the cherry blossom and drinking sake and beer and Ebisu beer. It's very nice. Yeah, we had a good time. But we did actually take in some art while we were there as well. It was mainly visiting family and so on, but we went to two art fairs, Tokyo Art Fair. Very good, lots of really good contemporary art as well as the traditional art. And we went to some more art galleries, including the Mori Art Museum, which is on the 53rd floor of this tower block in Roppongi Hills. So that was quite an experience. It's a contemporary gallery. It's a bit like the Tate, but it's on the 53rd floor. So you get a great view of looking down on Tokyo Tower, where we also went as well. Great.
Okay, just tell me the lift was an internal lift and not one of those external glass lifts.
It was, yeah, and it was very fast. The Tokyo Tower one is, you can see outside, but you mainly just see metal girders whizzing past you. And there's an observation tower in the floor below the Mori Museum as well, so you can have a good look around.
Okay, look, you know, I'm feeling weak, and it just sitting here now, just even thinking about it. So it's quite high up, and so I take it that the work was excellent.
Yeah, it was that one. It was called the Kaleidoscopic Eye, and so there's a lot of kaleidoscopic type things. There was some artists that we know as well, like Tracy Emin and Sarah Lucas, and other people that we've seen at the Tate here. There was a lot of same visual thing, sounds silly because artwork is visual. But, you know, like, there's one like the thing that's coming to Tate recently is the colour thing with coloured, where the floor is different colours. And there was one of those. I can't remember who the artist was. And there's one where there's a big silver ball just on the floor. And every so often, visitors weren't allowed to touch it, but every so often the attendant would come up and move it. And so you'd see your image floating around the floor. And big giant chandeliers, I'm sure we saw that in Venice. A couple of years ago, yeah, it's good.
So fantastic show there at the Mori Art Museum. Not sure, you know, Ian's not sure when that show's on till, and it's highly unlikely that you're going to be able to make it there. But if you are visiting Japan, Ian highly recommends it. So nip along and have a listen. Have a look. Even. So as I said, we've been off air. You've been away. I've been away. What other news has been going on now that you've been back a while?
Yes, when we got back, we managed to pick up a copy of the new seasonal guide. Remember during 08, there was one each quarter telling you what was happening in the capital of culture year. And they continued into this year. So this is the second one, the April to June edition. So it's listing a lot of the events that are on, and including the art section, listing what's on the main galleries. So pick up a copy of that from the 08 place, the visitor information centre, isn't it, in Whitechapel, or other places.
And sad news, tell us about the Liverpool.com magazine.
Yeah, Liverpool.com, the magazine that was produced by Trinity Mirror, who do the Daily Post and Echo. The current issue is the last one. They've shut it down. They've made the really a small group of staff. They've been made redundant. It was edited by David Lloyd. He used to do the one in Manchester. Was it City Life or something like that? He used to do that, and then he came to do Liverpool.com. So it's a shame. I did the arts page for them. I edited the arts page for the past year or so, and partly because of that, I thought it was quite a good magazine. It seems like every so often they attempt to do a magazine and just. It never lasts long. Actually, when we were in Japan, Minako was looking through all her old stuff that she used to pick up when she came over to this country every so often, and there was a couple of copies of Big Mouth.
Big Mouth. I was just going to say Big Mouth. Yeah, of course, because this was the forerunner. Was it the forerunner of Elsene, or it was one or the other? And it was kind of yeah, Big Mouth. Yeah, we've got mutual friends that used to work on Big Mouth.
That's right. Yes. Yeah. I recognised a couple of names there, and that looked really good. I don't remember it at all, although I was in the report at the time. But it was a really good read. I was reading it on the plane on the way back, and then there was Elsene, there was Space. That was.
You've lost me there, Space.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the one before Liverpool.com, I'm sure. And it was Elsene as well. And but they just, I don't know. There's obviously, times are hard at the moment, so they're not getting enough advertising and so on. But I'm sure they could have kept it going until things improve. And just, I think now there doesn't seem to be anything at all now.
Wow, just being handed copies of Big Mouth magazine from December 1998 and Big Mouth magazine from December 1997 to January 2008. So it's it went over a year. They're not too bad, are they? But anyway, so that's so while I'm standing here holding copies of 11 years old and possibly 12 years old of magazines, Liverpool magazines, mourning the loss of Liverpool.com magazine. So Ian, final words. And that's the news this week. Roundup of the week. Rounding up the week. Ian, have you, now that you've been back, you've been able to start getting back around the exhibitions around Liverpool, what's going on? What's been going on the past week? What you been to? Been to anything?
Not a lot, because we were pretty exhausted when we got back and had to do all the washing and so on. And we also came back with colds, and so we didn't feel too good for a few days. And jet lag, etc., etc., etc. We have been catching up with a few things. We popped into FACT at the weekend and to see the Climate for Change still going on, and that swap shop thing in the media lounge. You can still take stuff in and take stuff away. That's worth having a look at. And we popped into the Dot Art exhibition, their place in Queen Avenue. I had a look at that today. That finishes at the end of this week, so if you want to have a look at this, it's... a group exhibition of dot art artists, and pretty good. Finishes this week, this Friday, and the Saturday just gone. There was a viewing. We didn't make it, but the Lark Lane Atelier.
And this is Flights of Fancy. Now, Flights of Fancy by Elizabeth Willow, one of the Liverpool Art Prize. How do you describe them? One of the Liverpool Art Prize
shortlisted exhibitors. Yes. Yeah, she's been so busy last year and continued into this year. So as well as being in the Liverpool Art Prize, she's got this new exhibition at the Lark Lane Atelier called Flights of Fancy. So that opened on Saturday, and I can't remember when it closes. It'll be on for at least a month, maybe 2 months. Also recently opened at LCAD.
CADT, as it used to be in my day. Centre for Arts Development Training, or as it is now, Liverpool Centre for Arts Development.
That's right, yes. Yeah, on, is it Brownlow Hill or Mount Pleasant? Brownlow Hill, I think. Or off Brownlow Hill.
2A Francis Street, which is kind of Brownlow Hill.
That's right, yeah. And they've had a few exhibitions recently, and this one is by Jane Adams, who's also actually another dot art artist, and she does some really nice drawings and prints. And at Kerry Hand's Gallery in Cotton Street, her latest exhibition there is by Matthew Holding, called Sons of Pioneers. Again, we haven't been to see that yet, but sounds good. You remember in our last podcast, I described this one as being the one that was things made out of stuff. I've looked at some of the images since then, and yeah, it's pretty impressive, things made out of stuff.
Excellent, things made out of stuff. And also, is it the last week? This Jason Jones self-observed at the Cornerstone that ends this Friday.
That's right. Yes, and it's very good. So do try and get along to see that Jason Jones. These are the series of paintings he's been working on for a few years of himself. Good.
Of himself in front of the fridge.
That's right, yes, and other places.
And so that's the roundup this week. This week on the Art in Liverpool podcast, we bring you... Okay, so this week, the award ceremony for the Liverpool Art Prize is... It's being announced when?
This Wednesday, the 22nd of April.
Where?
At Novas, CUC, in the Wake Theatre. Between... Well, the evening is from 6 till 8. And then at 6:30 in the Wake Theatre, we'll be announcing the winners, the overall winner, which will be decided by the judges on the night, and the People's Choice winner, which will be the votes finish on Tuesday. So if you want to, if you haven't voted by Tuesday afternoon, then it's too late. So we'll announce those at 6:30 in the Wake Theatre at Nova CUC on Wednesday.
Now remind the listeners, what do they win?
Yes, so the overall winner wins £2,000, which has been donated by Duncan Sheard Glass, Chartered Accountants. And the People's Choice Prize is £1,000, sponsored by Arthur Diamond Design, who do all the signs for the show as well.
That's most excellent of them to do that. Now, what else is coming up this week?
Also this week, there's a couple of things on Friday. The big screen. I keep missing these things, the big screen in Clayton Square, but I must try and get to this one. Friday, between 1 and 3 in the afternoon, there's another thing by Sam Meach. He does a lot of film, video work, and this is part of the Moves 09 thing, which is going on all around the place. And so, yeah, it'll just be there on the big screen between 1 and 3, and it's something to do with... tracing the movements of people around. So if you actually move around Clayton Square at the time, you should see some sort of representation of your movements around on the screen. I think in different colours or something like that. So it creates all these weird patterns on the screen corresponding to people's movements.
I don't watch a lot of telly.
No, it's better than telly, I'm sure.
No, that sounds great. I don't think I've ever seen that before, but it does remind me of the thing that took place in Queen Square last year, which was what was that called? Oh, that was quite fantastic. With they were projecting down the lights onto the ground, and people were dancing around. Can't remember, but it was really, really beautiful.
Yes, I think I missed that one. Yeah,
Whatever it was called. Anyway, moving on. What else is coming up this Friday?
There's a new exhibition at the Blue Coat Display Centre. Opens on Friday 24th. It's a viewing 5:30 to 7:30, and it's by the award-winning Wiltshire furniture designer Matthew Burt. New work, and he's also going to give a talk not that night but later on about how he comes up with the ideas and manifests them.
Excellent. A bit of manifestation, that's what we want. Now, how do they make it? What's going on here? What's this about? This is Saturday the 25th of April, 12 noon till 5 p.m. How did he make it at the Blue Coat Art Centre? So what's that about then?
It's at the Blue Coat, and it's some of the people who occupy the galleries and other spaces there will just be encouraging people to come along and see how they make it, how they do the things, and... I think people will be able to have a go themselves, maybe. So there's all kinds of artists, jewellery makers and so on. I think the jewellery maker Anthony Wong is going to let people have a go at making jewellery out of paper or something like that, if I remember right. So just have to go along and see what's happening.
Sounds great. And it's got, I'm always been really interested in those. You can make a ring out of a 10p piece. I'm not sure how it's done, but it involves a hammer. And you tap it around and it becomes a ring of some sort. And so that's the artists who've got studios in the Blue Coat, the resident artists at the Blue Coat. So,
some of the shops as well. There's that Land Baby shop that sells all kinds of crafty things. They'll be doing a workshop. There's a hand engraving demonstration by Bob Porter.
Never mind that. The Baltic Fleet microbrewery give a talk about their history and processes. Fingers crossed, they'll bring some samples down.
Yeah, yeah. Otherwise, it might take a bit of a while to make the beer there, wouldn't it?
Yeah, they wouldn't be making it there and then in the day. I've tried that before, and it's not good for you.
Oh, and here's another good one. The chef, Ben Howe, demonstrates his pastry skills in the restaurant bar. So maybe we'll be able to eat some pastry as well.
It always gives me indigestion. And so, what else is coming up?
Also coming up, yes, on Saturday, the Rockscape. Remember from the biennial last year, the Rockscape was built by Bow Wow Atelier from Japan.
I remember.
Right, in that corner, on the corner of bottom of Lisi Street, top of Renshaw Street, opposite the St. Luke's Bombed Out Church. And they had bands playing live there, just like a stage and tiered seating. So it's been closed since the biennial ended last year, but now they've kept it going. They're keeping it there for this year at least, and it's reopening on Saturday, 25th of April from 12 noon, and it's sort of literary launch because there is music by Seal Cub Clubbing Club. I love saying that, Seal Cub Clubbing Club. Very good band. We saw them recently, actually. Up and coming. And there's a science fiction theme going on because it's also the launch of their debut album called Super Science Fiction. And they've managed to get short story writer Zoe Lambert and the legendary Wirral horror writer Ramsey Campbell. I know he lives in Wallasey and a very famous science fiction horror writer. So he's going to be there, presumably doing readings.
Excellent. And it even says, and a special guest to be announced. So there's more. So are we expecting Stephen King?
Maybe. Yeah. Oh, who was the other Liverpool horror writer?
You're looking at me and, okay, I do read horror, but I...
Barker. Somebody Barker.
Clive Barker?
Yeah, that's him, yeah. Yeah, yeah. He's based in California or somewhere now, but he's from Liverpool. And he's a bit of an artist as well, apparently.
So do you think we should be expecting Clive Barker also?
That would be good.
That would be good, yeah. But probably not. But anyway, I'll try and go and enjoy the music. Hope the weather's good.
And I can't possibly say Seal Cub Clubbing Club. It's beyond me. And so that's everything that's coming up this week. Listen out, look on websites, go and see things, enjoy. Further ahead, Ian. What's coming up towards the end of April? It's hard to believe we're at the end of April already. We're talking about stuff there. We're over a third of the way through the year. It's, oh my God. Here we go. Go on.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it'll be summer soon.
It's summer now. Have you been walking down the streets? My God.
Yeah, yeah. Cause being away, of course, we missed half of April and missed Easter and all kinds, and which is good. missed those school holidays, etc. Yes, Arena Gallery. Remember, that used to be in Duke Street originally, and then that building is marked for development or something, so they had to move out. And they, for a couple of years, they had a space in Jordan Street, off in the Baltic Triangle area, off Jamaica Street. But then last year, they moved to a nice, more permanent space in the Elevator Building, which is the Novas building, the other half of the Novas building. The Novas building faced onto Greenland Street, Contemporary Urban Centre and so on, but round the corner on Jamaica Street, on Parliament Street, is the entrance to the Elevator Building, which includes the Leaf Cafe. As you go in, you go into the Leaf Cafe, and then there's things on various different floors. And on the second floor, I think the second floor is the Arena Studios, where all the artists are, and they've got a gallery space there as well. Quite a small space, I think. We're going to see it next week, and then on Thursday, the 30th of April, they have their inaugural exhibition, which is called Collar Elective. I don't know if that means anything or whether it's just a play on collective or something. Collar Elective. And artists include, must be Arena artists, I presume, Katrina Beals, Fiona Curran, Tracy Eastham and Ben Washington.
Well, no, Katrina's, she's got a studio down at Bluecoat.
That's true, yes. Oh, well, maybe it's not just doing the artists then. Anyway, we'll have more information next week.
Of course. Stopping you there. Of course, you see, I remember when Arena Studios used to be based on Duke Street and they used to have the Mass Gallery that was there on the ground floor. It was, they used to have loads of exhibitions going on there. But that was going back a while, and then the gallery name changed and different people took over, but all still run by Arena Studios. But I don't know how. Somebody's told me that Arena has actually become studios again, the actual building, original building on Duke Street. Have I made that up?
Maybe. I think it's a Frenson's building, so it's being looked after by the art organisation along with some of the other old buildings like Mellow Mellow and what else? The old car park. So they've used it for one or two things during the biennial, but I haven't said any more than that.
Bizarre. Just kind of, you know, one set of artists move out and another set of artists move in.
Yeah, well, it could be, because a lot of these buildings that were marked for demolition and or regeneration and so on, and now that's been put on hold because of the current economic climate. I also believe the Liberal Art College, John Moore's Art College, was due to be changed into apartments, wasn't it? And that's been put on hold for a while. And I think John Moore's are still actually using it for another couple of years. Not completely, because they're using the new academy mainly, but I think they're still using the old place as well. So that could happen. Maybe some of these old buildings will be reoccupied by artists until such times as the developers throw them out again.
And it's also quite interesting because it's been big news in the on the telly at the moment with Hazel Bleers wandering around various different parts of the city, you know, of the country, going, shops, empty shops must be turned into galleries and community spaces and stuff like this. And as we've said in the past, it's kind of like artists have been doing it for years.
Yeah, definitely. Just need more. It'd be nice if they had more encouragement in various forms, financial, whatever, to do that. One place went into in Japan, Yokohama, just near Tokyo. It's the Bay Area, and I believe the council give the sort of earmark old buildings and let them out rent free to artist groups to use as studios and have artists in residence and that sort of thing. They don't actually pay for exhibitions, but that's something.
That's good. Now, moving back to further ahead. Okay, so that's the Arena Gallery coming online on Thursday, the 30th of April. What else is coming up further ahead?
It's View 2, opening on the Friday, the 1st of May at 6 o'clock. There's a photographic exhibition by Stephanie Power. And it's football. It's called Fan Power? And it's celebrating the role of football fan in the 21st century. So lots of pictures of football fans.
Lots of pictures of football fans rather than the footballers themselves?
Maybe, yeah. Certainly the examples I've seen have just been football fans and fan-related things like bags with Liverpool stuff in.
Okay, that's bags with stuff in. That's from Ian. He runs a blog site where he comments about art. So that's Friday the 1st of May at View 2 Gallery at 6 o'clock. That's when the private view is. Now, this is taking place at a gallery, but it's not strictly visual art. Or in fact, it's not visual art, but what is it?
And in fact, is static still a gallery? More studio spaces, really. But they have the occasional visual art event, but they have more music gigs these days. And so, yes, static gallery on Friday, 8th of May. There's the Neil Campbell Collective, NCC, Neil Campbell Collective. Neil Campbell does all kinds of music. He does a lot of solo stuff and can do classical and all kinds of things and has brought out loads of CDs of his various works. But he also does lots of collaborations with people, and this particular one is a progressive rock ensemble. Sounds a bit 70s, doesn't it? But they're going to play their first live gig in over 6 months, so it should be good.
And of course he works at Hope University, doesn't he? He teaches in the music department there.
That's right, yeah, he teaches music at Hope, yeah.
As you would hope he would do, So that's Neil Campbell Collective at Static Gallery. That's Friday the 8th of May. That's a very important day at the Static Gallery. Neil Campbell, somebody who he's been around quite some time and he's got involved in various different collectives of one sort or another. So that's really good. So, Ian, is there nothing else further ahead? Is that it? Are we at the end of this show, which has returned after a brief, well, quite a long sojourn?
Yeah, probably. There's there are more things coming up, obviously. There's some nice things coming up with the Tate and the Walker, etc.
But we'll get those in the next show.
Yeah. But I think OpenEye will be... I think we mentioned this earlier. Before, in the past, OpenEye will close for a while. I think the current exhibition is the last one, and it ends in May. Then after that, they're closed for about 18 months, and they reopen in their new place.
They're going to be closing?
Yeah, or what do they call it? Going offline, or going into...
Dark.
Ah, dark, that's right, yes. Going dark.
That's what the theatre lovies call it, going dark. Yes, we're going dark, loves, for 18 months while we before we move. Okay, well, that's, well, good luck to them. Good luck to them. It's they're moving into the brand new site down at the Albert Dock, aren't they?
Yeah, Man Island, yeah, where they're building those apartments, etc., quite near the new Liverpool Museum.
Are they still building apartments in Liverpool?
Apparently, yes. Yeah.
Good luck to them. And so, for this week, our triumphant return.
Triumphant, yes.
Ian looking at me strangely. So, for this week, thanks very much. I'd like to say thank you very much to Ian. For sparing his very valuable time.
And thank you.
And thank you for listening.
Thanks for downloading from DefNet Media.